KNC Master P's right here on 105 through the fan. We're going to talk with Bicky Spagnuolo in just 1 second. But
when?
We have news from the Washington Commanders, who are busy. They have told defensive coordinator Joe Witt they would prefer if he was not employed by the team anymore. And then Cliff Kingsbury and the Commanders have, quote unquote, mutually agreed to part ways, which at first I thought was a similar situation. But there is thinking out there that Cliff Kingsbury could be in the mix for some of these open head coaching jobs. So there's that.
Good God.
Right?
Dude, we've talked about the epitome of failing
retread,
up.
Yeah.
And that dude has done it. Nobody
fails up better than Cliff Kingsbury. All right, right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. We bring you our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo. Good morning, sir. And what do you think about those Commanders' movings and the shakings?
Joe Witt was Quinn's guy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was.
Whoops.
There was people thinking he should have been the coordinator here.
Oh, no. Who were those people? Jerry?
Well, I remember it. Maybe not inside the building,
okay,
but outside the building.
Yeah. I'm interested. Like, he does have a pretty good connection with the Cowboys. That would not be a person of interest now, though, right?
No, I don't think so, since Quinn took over the defensive coordinator job of calling plays during the season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That writing was on the wall.
Were you pretty stunned this morning when you saw that Eberflus was let go?
A little bit, just because of how Jerry had been answering those questions. And then no, because I actually saw him walking up the steps towards the next floor higher yesterday.
Oh.
I figured that wasn't a good indication.
HR.
So, yeah, you know, when I look at it, so if I go back to Rod Marinelli in 2019, so this is now how many coordinators in 7 years? Four?
Yeah.
Yep.
And only one guy for 1 year really fixed the defense, and that was Quinn's last year.
Right.
So, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah. So, at some point, are you making bad choices as defensive coordinator, or do you need to improve the personnel on defense?
Yes. Yes. I'll say that one for sure.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, if I'm interviewing for the defensive coordinator's job now, right, I don't think money would be what I'm worried about.
You're just worried about the talent aspect?
I want in my contract, you will re-sign Jadeveon Clowney. You will get me a Pro Bowl caliber cornerback. I want a real middle linebacker, and I need another pass rushing defensive end. That's all. And then I'll sign on the dotted line.
Yeah.
But don't give me, and I just figured it out, some of the guys that were either prominent players on this defense or guys that started but not finished the season for one reason or another, meaning you weren't good, you got released, you ended up on IR, you got traded because you didn't play well. They missed a total of 89 games.
Gross.
So I know what everybody says about Flus. I get it. But he didn't have a lot to work with.
Yeah.
And if you missed that many games of guys you were counting on from the start of the season, and I didn't even add in the week before the season started, 17 games of Parsons, right?
Yeah.
So that gets us over 100. So I'll let you know what I think about the move when you tell me who gets hired.
And is this just a situation where nothing is, obviously nothing's going to change with the people who are picking some of those players? So isn't that at least part of the reason we keep going through this cycle? Because you're like, I don't know, change this guy then.
Well, did you pick the wrong guy with Trayvon Diggs?
I mean, I don't...
It was pretty good for 2 years, right?
For sure. I guess what I've started to become concerned with, and we've talked about this, it's hard to figure out, like, who really loves the game and will do whatever it takes to win versus who loves the money, who loves the spotlight. And I guess I've become concerned with some of the contract extensions that have been given out without fully understanding who loves football and who doesn't.
Well, I didn't see anybody disagree with Diggs, right?
Right.
He was pretty good for 3 years.
I agree with that. I didn't have an issue with the Diggs extension.
All right. But a lot of these guys here that I'm looking at that missed were not extended. Bland was extended. He got hurt. All right. You can't figure that out. He kind of loves football.
Yeah. Maybe career. Was he good enough to get that deal? Was Osa good enough to get that deal?
Yes, he was, until he had the foot injury, right? And now he needs another surgery, put a bigger screw in the fifth metatarsal.
Oh, man.
They didn't spend a lot to get Elam, right?
Right.
That was supposed to be a depth guy because they were hoping Diggs was going to be ready to start. They were probably hoping Revel would have been ready sooner. You know, and this is not being cold-hearted, but Nealon ended up missing 10 games.
Yeah.
Wrong guy? No, I don't think so.
Yeah, that one's tough.
Now, you can make a case for Mazi Smith, but they didn't expend a lot of, they didn't extend him, right?
Right.
DeMarvian Overshown, wrong guy. Couldn't stay healthy.
Yeah, yeah.
Kalen Carson was pretty good his rookie year in training camp. And then when he got hurt, he missed 9 games. So when you add all that stuff up, I don't know what scheme you wanted to play to fix this defense that was historically bad, right?
Right.
Somebody's got to play. Somebody's got to play. Now, did you sign some of the wrong guys in free agency to kind of fill some depth spots?
Maybe so.
Yeah.
You know, but you just didn't have a true middle linebacker. I don't think Kenneth Murray was a middle linebacker.
Yeah.
But you had him playing middle linebacker, right?
Yeah.
And so that's another need I need, a real middle linebacker. I see where, you know, Eric Kendricks didn't play all season. San Francisco signed him late because of injuries. And now the guy's got to start in the first playoff game for him because their second middle linebacker is out with an injury. Now, he was pretty good. He's a pretty good leader and leader on the field of the defense. So, yeah, I just think they were, from a personnel standpoint, pretty shorthanded defensively for all those reasons, either the wrong guy, injury, or a guy didn't want to play in Trayvon Diggs. Did he play Sunday?
Yeah.
Did he?
Okay. Yeah. I think I saw that. I think he gave it like one reception. Maybe he's only targeted twice. I have to admit, I don't know if I've got those stats exactly right off the top of my head.
He didn't have an interception, did he?
No. I feel like we would have heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah, that probably would have been the big story.
So, yeah, I just think, you know, I just don't know if Luce had a fighting chance to fix what he was dealing with. And, you know, it's a guy that's been a pretty good defensive coordinator in the league, right?
Is he a scapegoat for this then?
Well, we'll see what if things change. going forward.
Okay.
And again, is if guys have a choice between this and somewhere else, you know, I would imagine that factors into the situation, unless you money whip them.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know if there's a heck of a lot of cheering out there that, you know, Flus takes the fall. But sometimes the way I look at things, you got to be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the Cowboys have had pretty good defensive coordinators here, right?
I feel like Zimmer had his time. I would have been fine having him back to build on what he ended the season with, but I know he had other thoughts.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he wanted to.
Yeah, based on what I was hearing. Yeah.
I think he was close to saying, okay, that's it, right?
Yeah.
You know, Quinn, they improved each year from total defensive rankings. They went from 19 to 12 to 5, right? And then what happened in the playoff game? They gave up 48 points to a quarterback who was starting full-time for the first time in his career.
Right.
So you're sitting there going, well, and Jordan Love almost had a perfect quarterback rating in that game. He finished at 157.2. He was 1 point away from perfect.
Ugh.
With 6 pass plays of at least 20 yards. So, yeah, the defense played better overall during the season, but when it got to the playoffs, it was the same old thing. Gave up 48 points. So, you know, the best run, I thought a pretty good run with Marinelli, who took over the worst defense in the league, and he went from 19 to 17 to 14 to 8 to 7 to 9 in his time here with the Cowboys, which was respectable, right?
Sure. I would have killed for that this year.
Well, yeah. You might have killed for Quinn's 19.
Yeah, oh, for sure this season. Where could this team have gone if they were even close to middle of the road?
Right? So, yeah. It just, you know, when you couldn't fix it. Now it'll be interesting because I'm sure Schottenheimer knows some guys out there. Every place he's been, there'll be guys that he's crossed paths with, and maybe he's got an idea of who he wants.
Yeah.
And I do think he's got a bigger voice in the decision-making than I think people might have thought he had when he first got hired.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure he had a hand in, you know, the Parsons thing, the Diggs thing. Because remember, he had been here, 3 years? He had seen those characters
right
behind the scenes. And I'm sure there was a lot he would have liked to say that he didn't have the authority to say at the time.
Well, maybe tomorrow we could talk about some of those potential options and some of the other things that the Cowboys will need to take a look at in the off season. Sound good?
Sounds good to me.
All right, there you go. Mickey Spagnuolo from DallasCowboys.com. Wanted to throw this out there. Jerry Jones has released a statement about Matt Eberflus.
Oh,
quote,
no! Oh, hold on.
He is not really fired. No, I'm just kidding. I feel like we would have had to break. I feel like
Dude.
We would have had to break in for that quote. Having known Matt Eberflus for decades now, we have tremendous respect and appreciation for him as a coach and a person. After reviewing and discussing the results of our defensive performances this season, though, it was clear that change was needed. This is the first step in the process, and we will continue that review as it applies to reaching our much higher expectations. Period. End quote. So kind of a pretty standard.
I like the line of this is the first step.
Yeah.
Because there should be 12 more steps after this. It's a 12-step program, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin. So I think there should be plenty of other steps after this. But them saying this is the first step, I hope they're not just placating. I hope they're not just kind of throwing that out there as, guys, just hold on just a little bit longer.
Because that's always
the... They made the right move. I think this is the right move.
Sure.
I do. But I don't think it's the only move that needs to be made.
Is the concern that the Cowboys, maybe you can speak for the general fandom, is the concern that the Cowboys do either the bare minimum or they do the thing that they think will placate the fan base
yes.
without actually doing the real work?
Yeah, I feel like, hey, look, we signed free agents. That right there is frustrating and also correct. And you're like, I guess you did sign your own guys, so those are your free agents.
Right.
So it gets frustrating sometimes. But yeah, I my fear is that they'll be like, look, we did this, and that made everybody happy, and now it'll be fixed, right? All we got to do is bring a new voice in here. Whenever you know that there are, if you watched the guys on the field, you saw things that you were like, why is that player even on the football
yeah.
field right now?
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And coming up next, I do believe it's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day. Plus, I think I might have found the worst fantasy football league ever.
Ooh,
next
that's...
on the Fan.
But before we get to any of that,
let's give everything away!
877-881-1053, caller number 10.
No!
We'll win an opportunity to go see TNA Wrestling at Curtis Colwell Center Thursday, January 15th. It is the very first edition of Thursday Night Impact on AMC. We got these tickets from TNA Wrestling. You can buy tickets there or CurtisColwellCenter.com, or you can win them for free right now. 877-881-1053.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful. One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, the man that they call the Pride of Mansfield, Texas.
Yeah.
877-881-1053. The Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line to acknowledge that Corey actually got in on the
Whoa.
Bit.
Guys, new year, new me.
Oh.
My eating structure has changed. I have to be disciplined. I had to turn down some cake from La Grande just moments ago.
What?
By the way, La Grande, fantastic Spanish broadcasting
yes.
station.
That's right.
If you are to listen to a Spanish broadcasting station, please listen to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Or tell your friends, listen to The Fan. But if not The Fan, La Grande. So I've changed my timing. So I had some yogurt earlier.
Mm. Oh.
But I will have to have my sandwich type thing later.
Okay.
Type thing.
So.
And also, before you get to the question of the day, you were telling us Kingsbury stuffs. He's already got potentially two head coaching interviews set up.
Yeah, our buddy Jordan Schultz is saying that he is widely expected to interview with the New York Giants and the Tennessee Titans for their head coaching vacancies. So, yeah, this might have sounded like you're kind of halfway out the door already.
Yeah.
So you may as well go ahead and get all the way out the door and figure something out.
I mean, look, it makes sense because the Commanders were probably really good this year. What's that? They weren't? Oh, well, I'm sure he has a really good head coaching record in the NFL.
Well,
oh, it's 9 games under .500. All right. Well, whatever, haters. I'm sure he had a really good college coaching record.
I don't know if he did that either very well.
It was 16 games under .500.
That was at Texas Tech where you can't be good at
No, Texas Tech was just in the college football playoff. They had a great year.
That was before they started spending money.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll concede
Allegedly.
That.
Oil and gas. It always comes back around, doesn't it? There we go.
True.
Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Jerry
yeah.
Jones.
Valid.
Yeah. Connections, Corey.
Gas.
Connections.
Oil.
Yeah.
Hitting
and
on
gas.
That oil well is the reason why we still do business the way we do with the Cowboys.
Exactly. Yeah.
Isn't it?
If I'd have stopped pumping.
Yeah.
Who knows what would have happened?
Well, I am going to keep that answer to myself.
Me too. But I'm going to write that timestamp down. And I'm going to go to the National Day calendar before you guys dig an even deeper hole for yourselves on Friday at 1:30. We look and we see today is National Apple Tree Day. So that's a great holiday. I told you guys I love apples yesterday. I try to consume one every day. Love
What's
apples.
The most apples you've ever eaten in a day?
Probably like 3 or 4.
Oh.
Yeah. Like full-size apples? Or are we talking about the HEB apples that are like as big as your head?
I think this is a great conversation. Hold on, guys.
Does he have an apple in
his
bag?
I hope he has an apple. If Corey has an apple in his bag. I mean, there is a pane of glass, so I'd be safe.
That's why I wanted to throw it at you.
Oh!
He's got two apples.
And they're tiny.
Small.
What? Dude.
They're very tiny.
Don't talk about my apples like that. All right, so one is a small apple. The other is a medium-sized apple. I put the small apple in my bag this morning and then was getting ready to leave when I found out we had medium-sized apples. But I never took the small apple out.
Ooh.
So that is why I have two apples. Kevin, one is small. The other one is a little bit larger. If they were to sit in a bag together, one would hang a little lower.
Oh,
would you get nervous if they were different sizes? Like talk to a doctor?
Well, no, not a doctor, but like a...
Fruitologist.
A horticulturist. Yeah.
This is Kawhi Leonard's favorite radio show.
Yeah, if he actually showed up to listen, you know.
Oh.
Showing up is a big issue there. It is also Dry Bean Day.
What?
So shout out to the dry beans.
Dry Bean Day?
Yeah, I guess. It's also just National Bean Day in general.
Oh.
So. Dude, in Italy, they love beans.
Mm-hmm.
In the poor cultures.
What? Wow.
That's what I learned yesterday, I believe. Yeah.
Poor Italian.
That's what it's Stanley Tucci taught me this.
Hold on. It's Stanley Tucci is not like a doctorate candidate.
No,
or
but
anything.
he went to the people and was like, "What do y'all eat the most?" And they're like, "These beans." They pointed out one set of beans, he was like, "You don't even have to sit these in water overnight. They're so clean and so pure."
What people did he go to?
The poor people.
Oh my
I'm
goodness.
Assuming.
Do you think that's a weird bit?
What?
I'm famous millionaire actor Stanley Tucci, hanging out with the poor people.
He also hangs out with rich people.
Okay.
Equal opportunity, I see. I appreciate that. It is National Cuddle Day, so if you're into cuddling, you got somebody to cuddle.
I used to not be.
No.
But now you are.
Now I am. I like to hold her.
Do you ever get to be the little spoon?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh,
I'm an equal opportunist.
I like that.
Like we just said.
How did you not say an equal opportunity spoonist? Opera spoonist. Like
stop.
How did you not?
Oh,
opera
man.
Spoonist.
It is just amazing to think of Corey being the little spoon, though.
It is difficult.
I don't know if you knew, Kevin, but...
tiny
but,
little arm hanging over me.
Yeah, Corey's a large man, so...
Wide shoulders.
Yeah, the vision of that. That's just hilarious to me. There's some really weird days today in terms of names. It's National
Weirder than Dry Bean Day,
yes.
Which has led to all these perverts texting in about what you need to do for that.
It's almost like I'm.
How do you send a bean happen. Across the room, Kevin?
Stop.
Never mind.
Stop. Don't.
I don't know the answer.
Don't.
To that. Oh,
yes. I'm gonna act like that didn't happen. It is National Davis Day, so shout out to Anthony.
Oh,
and Ray.
That's right.
Yeah.
It is also.
Do you know anybody whose first name is Davis?
Yeah, there was a dude on Wings. Davis.
Yeah.
Dear Davis.
Yeah.
Bertons.
Oh, that's Davis.
Close enough. It's National Samantha Day. So if you know a Samantha, it's their day today.
Surely out there in the world, there are Davises married to Samanthas. This is like your day.
Power day. Yeah.
But wait, there's more. It is National Smith Day as well.
Okay.
So if there's a Samantha Smith, a Samantha Davis, a Davis Smith.
It is not going to be Dry Bean Day for you.
All right. I'm going to go to the actual point before we get kicked off the air. I promise I'm not stealing your topic for this.
Okay.
I'm taking this a different direction. It is National Take Down the Christmas Tree Day. So.
Oh, yeah. We could talk about that.
But I want to take it a different direction because I feel like... At our house, we do a great job of getting the decorations in and out on time. We don't really let it sit around. What is something that you are awful at procrastinating with? 877-881-1053. Just something in life that you always put off.
Tree limbs. If a tree limb falls, I will take it to the side of the house and leave it on the side of the house. Although I know I need to trim it down to, 6 feet and then put it in the back where the trash will just pick it up and take it. Mm-hmm. But if it's tree limbs, I will be like, oh, my gosh, I got to walk through the grass.
Okay.
I know that's not that big of a problem, but once I take it to the side where the mud is, that's because the side of the house has mud. I don't know. And it's done. It's there for good.
Changing the oil. Even when your car's now, will be like.
That's scary.
Huh?
That's scary.
Oh.
Your car will blow up.
What?
You don't want that to happen.
Even if my car is like, hey, you got 15% of your oil, 10% of your oil, you should change it soon. I'm like, all right, car, I'll get it done. You just be patient.
Dude, be careful,
and
man.
And then it tells you every single time.
No wonder you've gotten four cars from Platinum Chevy in the last 3 years.
Because of people kept hitting us on the road. But, yeah, I wish Platinum Chevrolet held a driving course for other people. But, yeah.
I mean, you would fail your emissions test, which means you can't get your registration sticker, which means you'd have to kick yourself out of your house.
Okay, I didn't say I didn't say that's true. I didn't say I don't change the oil. I say my car would like me to change it a little sooner. Like, even if you stop at the convenience store and get something, turn the car back on, it's like, woo. You change your oil, and you're like, I know, car. I was just in there for 2 minutes.
See, and it's also very dependent on the type of oil you use as well, because a lot of times the meter on the car is way faster than it should be for oil life. So I wait. I purposely wait, because I actually keep track of the mileage. So I'll go around 10,000 miles or so versus the 6,000 miles that the car is telling me, because I'll get full synthetic oil. And I check my dipstick.
Use WD-40. That was from Dumb and Dumber, maybe? Tommy Boy.
Yep, that's Tommy Boy. And I hate everything about that. But for me, I think there's a couple things. Sticking with the yard work topic, leaves. Getting the leaves off the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Raking the leaves, I put off for weeks and weeks and weeks, kind of intentionally, to wait for all the trees to be naked, so I didn't have to go out there and do it again.
Nothing like naked trees.
But we have about 8 trees on the property, so it took me, I think, 25 contractor-sized trash bags.
Oh, my gosh.
And about 3 days of work.
You just mow over them.
Even then.
Then they turn into fertilizer for the soil.
But still, we had so many that, like, we have small
dogs. Are you telling me that the forest doesn't know what it's doing? You're telling me nobody's going through and raking the forest, Kevin. The forest just says, hey, let's just consume. We're going to break these leaves down, and then we're going to turn them into fertilizer for the next tree.
Mm-hmm.
It's nature, bro. I mean,
Happy Gilmore threw a rake in the forest.
Because it's where it belongs.
That's its home.
But yes, we have small dogs, right? And one of them's a miniature wiener dog, so his ground clearance is maybe about 3 inches. Right? So if the leaves pile up, he cannot walk through the backyard.
I just want to let you know, this is Corey's fault. I was fine.
I'm sorry.
With your story until he snorted and started laughing. And then I was fine. I was fine with your story. It's his fault.
What's wrong with my miniature wiener dog, man?
7-3 inches of clearance.
Yes, he does. Like, his belly almost scrapes the ground, man. Like, even during the summer when there's no leaves, we got to be on top of the yard work because it'll tickle his belly.
He's got a good point, dude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. 972 gets it. 972 gets it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Something you procrastinate with in life all the time. 877-881-1053.
Do you regret asking this question, Alex?
I kind of do.
Yeah.
I kind of do. People getting on to me saying go more often for the oil change, no, because one, I like to do them myself, and that takes work, and I get dirty. And so I'd rather not do that all the time. But two,
it's definitely not 10,000 miles. I definitely have not waited that long. I'm not like, I'm saying
8 to 10?
I should do it sooner. I do not go 10,000 miles between oil changes.
Let's see. From the 817, weed eating, always putting that off. And yes, because that can get tumultuous, especially with a corner lot. That's
you know
great.
What? I'm going to tell you something. This is what I think.
Tell me.
Like, kids in the neighborhood or whatever get wrong with their business plan. Because they'll come around and be like, hey, I can spray paint the numbers on your curb now. They should be going around being like, hey, I'll pull your weeds for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a thing where you're like, oh, yeah, that could be neat. But if you came up to my house and was like, I'll pull all of your weeds, then I'd be like,
For how much?
Yeah, now you
got
business.
How much for a weed pulling business? Per yard?
$50.
I like it.
That could be pretty quick work, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what?
And just because you're like, I'll pay the $50 and not have to worry about that anymore.
See, you might have just helped me expedite this move out of my dad's house that you think that I broke news on last Friday.
I really thought
Kevin had to explain it to me. I was like, what is going on?
Called your dad and you just announced it on radio and I was like, oh no.
See, from the 469 bills, always procrastinate with bills. From the 817 taxes, I always owe. From the 903, going to the doctor. I'm kind of on the same page going to the doctor because I'm like, I'll figure it out. I'll live with it. Y'all knew with my back issue, it took me like 2 months to finally get it looked at and get it diagnosed. And then, guys, real quick, I found the worst fantasy football league ever. This TikTok user by the name of Not Rob, and that's not as in a knot that you tie, but not.rob, posted the parameters of the fantasy football league that he is a part of, not the commissioner of, just part of. The winner of the league gets nothing. You get nothing. You know what you get? You get immunity. Because every single other person that does not win has to take on a punishment.
Oh, no.
But it's called the All Pain, No Gain League, is what they named it. Where every single person that does not finish in first place has their own unique punishment. And some of these punishments include, like, the third place game winner. They have to spend 12 hours in the Florida, Alabama, border area wearing a ski suit in July. The loser of the game has to take a bucket drum to the French Quarter of New Orleans until they earn $50 in donations on the street.
Wow, that is very clever. I like that one.
And then for the eighth place punishment was somebody having to spend their own money to fly to a WNBA game in a different city, sitting courtside, and watch the game without drinking, and then they have to immediately fly home without enjoying anything in the city at all. So you have to make the timing work out of the flight gets there right before tip-off. You have to get a courtside seat. Wow. You can't do anything at the game. And as soon as the game ends, you have to fly back home. And there was a couple other diabolical ones as well, like having to audition in the local Peter Pan play.
Dope.
Yeah. All right. That one doesn't seem as bad as some of those other ones.
Yeah. So there was a lot of crazy punishments in this league.
I would totally go watch a WNBA game too, though. The whole process of logistics, though, is chaos.
The logistics part is what gets you, is because you have to get on a plane within an hour of the game ending. That is just absurd. You can't enjoy the city at all.
Yeah.
You have to leave.
Yeah.
All pain, no gain. I kind of like it.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Which open NFL job would you most want to take? Next on The Fan.
Purdy, out of the shotgun, steps up, gets hit as he throws, falls short. Seattle is going to win this football game. The defense holding the Niners to 3 points, and Purdy stays down on the ground. He's hit as he threw that ball. This was one heck of a performance by the Seahawks.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Powered by Men's Tea Clinic. It's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip.
Dip it and sip it.
Ooh. Let's talk about it. Let's start with that discussion about the Seattle Seahawks. So a lot of stuff happening with the Seahawks over the last 48 hours or so, I guess 72 hours. They held the 49ers to 73 yards in two running back sets this past weekend. Consider what happened before that. San Francisco had amassed at least 200 yards in those sets each of the last 3 weeks.
Okay.
And they go all the way from 200 down to 70. Three.
Aiden Dirty figured something out.
He did.
He saw something that he liked with his matchups. And I'll be honest, dude, have you watched any of the video of Tank Lawrence and his effort? It's just, you just go watch that and you're like, It's something that was missing, even though we kind of got to the point where we're like, all right, it's time to move on.
Right.
He had a bounce back, but Aiden Dirty figured something out there. That's impressive.
One of the things that they did to counteract that, they played with five defensive backs on every single one of those two running back sets.
Okay. All right. As opposed to
yeah,
four?
Yeah, or maybe even in probably
or six. Four. Maybe they were going a little lighter,
yeah,
and they decided to go a little heavier up front. That's impressive.
On the offensive end, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Rockwall ISD zone, finished the season with 119 catches for 1,793 yards and 10 touchdowns, all career highs. Do you think it will take another season like this, or is he now firmly entrenched in the top tier of wide receivers?
Do it consecutively, two or three different seasons. I think it's going to take another one.
Okay,
give me another.
Because this was an awesome season, but like to sit in that top group.
Yeah, we know that this dude can play.
Sure,
and we've seen him play many levels.
Yes,
and we know that he can absolutely do that. But in this league, it is do it consistently to be
right.
One of the greats. Jerry Rice, it's kind of tough when you have the Jerry Rice numbers and you're like, how the hell am I ever going to get to that?
You're not.
And then you also have to do it on a big stage.
Yeah.
Do it on a big stage. Do it in a Super Bowl. Do it in an NFC Championship game. That makes a big difference.
Well, there you go. Maybe that's how the 49ers felt this weekend against the Seahawks. Let's go back to the Seahawks, or I guess stick with them, in between the emergency tests. Now, the Seahawks are the NFC's number one seed for the fourth time in franchise history. The previous three times, made the Super Bowl every time.
Oh, interesting.
And I know it sounds dumb to be like, oh, do you think the number one seed can make the Super Bowl? But it does feel like there are a lot of people out there who are like, nah, I don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Or I forgot the Seahawks exist.
I mean, isn't that kind of the same the last three times the Broncos have finished one they've been to the... I'm sure you probably have a stat there.
Yeah.
This is interesting.
But at least one of those with the Broncos is like, hey, a couple of them were Peyton Manning and
stuff.
Yeah,
no,
that
makes sense. You're right. This team has been overlooked on many, many different times. I still think, Kevin, because are we looking at the odds? Did the odds say the Seahawks are the favorite?
Yeah, which is amazing to me.
That doesn't make sense to me, because as much as they have the team built, it's still going to... I don't have faith in Sam Darnold.
I gotcha. By the way, Sam Darnold, he eclipsed 4,000 passing yards, which got him a $500,000 bonus, which is nice, but we all want Charles Cross money. The offensive tackle agreed to a four-year, $104.4 million extension with the Seahawks. That extension is the largest non-quarterback contract in franchise history. All right, I'm going to quick hit
a
couple of these things. He's awesome.
Gosh.
Before getting to the coaches, Lane Johnson, good news for the Eagles. He is expected to practice this week. Scott Hansen is going to remain the host of the Red Zone channel. I know there was some thought that he got emotional at the end of the regular season that maybe that was going to change. Not so on that front. And in case you missed the news earlier, both the defensive coordinator and the offensive coordinator are out for the Commanders. It sounds more like the defensive coordinator was fired, as maybe the offensive coordinator's like, hey, I think I got a chance to be a head coach elsewhere. And then Matt Ryan is going to interview with the Falcons later this week. There's been a lot of discussion about him taking a high-ranking spot in the front office.
Like GM?
Or like a variation
assistant to the regional manager,
kind of sort of like that, but we shall see. It might just end up being the GM. There's processes that you have to go through to make sure you follow the Rooney rule and everything, but don't be surprised if he does take that job. Now, head coaching jobs, the ones available: the Titans, the Raiders, the Cardinals, the Falcons, the Giants, and the Browns. What would be your hierarchy of desirability? Like, if you were going to be the coach and all six of those teams were like, we would like you to come coach for us,
mm-hmm,
who do you think you'd be most likely to pick first?
I really do hate to say this. It is probably the Giants.
Ooh, interesting.
And Mickey's right. Who has the best quarterback? And the potential situation there is the Giants. Now, I hate their general manager.
Yeah,
thought he should have been gone too, because he made lots of poor decisions along the run with Dable. you have the potential, I think, if you want job security, you have the potential with the Raiders, though, because they're probably going to run out Fernando.
Yes.
And so, like, that's a really good opportunity. But that organization is miserable. Unless Tom Brady could actually get some people, like some organization right. in that place, you tell me that they're gonna hire Brian Flores, and then Fernando Mendoza is gonna be the quarterback.
Right.
That could be a good situation. But I am one of those guys that likes to tie offensive minded head coaches with quarterbacks, because if you change out your defense, all that's gonna be a problem there. But I think the Raiders would be second for me, but I think the Giants, because I do like Jackson Dart. I do think he's very talented. That would be my first option.
So I was looking at lists from both CBS and Yahoo, and they're pretty similar, except in the middle. They've got the Falcons 1, both of them do, the Giants 2 for both, and then CBS has Titans Raiders 3-4, whereas Yahoo goes Raiders Titans at 3-4, and then the Browns are 5th and the Cardinals are 6th. One of the reasons, and you just saw a move today that I think has to do with this, is Kirk Cousins has restructured his contract. And so the thought already was, if the Falcons cut Kirk Cousins, they could save $22.5 million or $35 million if they post June 1st him. And so it sounds like he is willing to help facilitate them moving on down the road from him, which would help save even more salary cap space. But to your quarterback point, that a lot of that's going to have to do with what you think you can get for Kyler Murray, or how you feel about Penix or Dart or Cam Ward. So, you know, mileage could vary on all of that. But I think the fact that the Falcons are about to get a good chunk of money coming their way by moving on from Kirk Cousins helps.
Kevin, according to Jordan Schultz sources, his understanding is that key Commanders offensive players, including Jaden Daniels, are disappointed with the yes. team's decision to move on.
Well, and because Jaden Daniels just, I think yesterday, was talking about how much he likes Cliff Kingsbury, and I think that's where the team might have to make it really clear what happened. Like, if they canned him, okay, well, then you have to answer to the players. But if Cliff Kingsbury ends up getting a head coaching job or is just interviewing in all these positions, if you're the Commanders, can't you be like, no, we didn't get rid of him.
Yeah.
He said he was ready to elevate.
To become something better.
Yeah.
He didn't want to fail again and then fail down. He wanted to fail up.
Man, he does have some remarkable luck with that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, I'm really excited to talk about this. The franchise and even some in the media have praised Shoddy's culture. But what does that mean to the fan base? Do you care? Next on The Fan.